Kevin Kernan joins us, as I said yesterday, one of the leading sports writers, I think, in the country. He writes for the New York Post. I love following him. New York baseball is always a lot of fun. Kevin, great to have you here today.
Marty, always great to see you. And, of course, we stay in touch on Twitter a little bit. Where's Kernan? Because you never know where I am.
It's true. Where's Kernan? K-E-R-N-A-N. Kevin with us. Kev, the Mets, always a story, and I think we'll start with this one. Who's more disappointing as a team, the Giants or the Mets this year?
I think the Mets are, to some extent, because the Giants, you could see this coming. At least I could. They were getting old. They're slow, non-athletic. And once you get the Bumgarner injury, it's a whole different world. But the Mets, you know, the Mets talked it up all spring, how good they were. You had guys like Syndergaard, Harvey coming back. And they never really fixed the mechanical issues with a lot of their pitchers, and that's why they keep getting hurt, like Matt Harvey. Noah Syndergaard, I'm sure everybody heard the story. You know, they asked him to get an MRI. He didn't want to get it. Next time he goes out, he blows out a lat muscle. He put on 17 pounds of muscle in the offseason.
Really?
He already threw 100. Some of these guys, you got to wonder, they get just become rockheads, really, and they cause their own trouble. And I think what's going on in baseball now, it's really going to have to change, Marty, because too many injuries. The pitchers, I was talking to Joe McElvain, former Mets GM, last week in Atlanta, and he made a great point. He said the pitchers these days, and Joe was always an expert on pitching, he said the pitching that he sees these days, they don't use their legs like they used to. The mechanics that they're taught now, it's all upper body, standing tall, and that creates so much stress on the elbow and the arm, and I think that's what we're seeing, and I think that's essentially the problem. He had the juice ball, and here's what you got: home runs, walks, strikeouts, and boring games.
Boy, you know, you get Cespedes to follow. Every time I see the guy, it's just amazing to me. He looks like Willie Mays in many ways,
yes.
You know, the size and everything else. But then you get Aaron Judge in New York, and you've covered the Yankees. What about Aaron Judge? How does he fit into this landscape
now? Yeah, well, I did a piece on him 2 years ago in spring training, and I talked to Dave Winfield about him, because I could – you know, one of the things about myself, Marty, I can be obnoxious, I get it, but I also know baseball. You know, I played it through college, I have an understanding of it, so I think I understand it better than most writers. And I could see Judge coming 2 years ago, and that's why I did this big piece on him. And you couldn't ask for a nicer kid. You know, he's from Northern California, and, you know, his parents were two former gym teachers, he's adopted. This is probably the nicest guy I ever met in sports.
Wow.
But it's not too much, you know what I mean? He's one little thing. Next time you watch a Yankee game, and the listeners, if they watch a Yankee game or watch it live, he will always run into the dugout at the end of an inning. He will never go in the dugout. He will wait for his teammates. He will give him a high five. He will give him a slap on the back, a word of encouragement, or bust their chops. He is such a team player that he is never going to be going in that dugout without making a point. He's the leader of that team. He has established that clubhouse as being a wonderful clubhouse. And I think we'll see if they write out the issues they have. Plus, he's also made some major adjustments in his swing. The Yankees, for some reason, decided he needed a leg kick last spring. Now, here's a guy who hits the ball, 500 feet anyway. He doesn't need a leg kick. So he made some adjustments, changed his swing, and really hits the ball all fields. I think he's – I told him early this year that he's going to be the face of baseball for the next 10 years, and I really believe that. One final point on Aaron Judge, a scout I trust very much. I was talking to him about 3 weeks ago, a month ago. Great scout. And he said, you know what, I have to change my comp. Now, scouts always use comps on players. They always comp them with somebody else. Who you might. He said, I got to change my Dave comp on Aaron Judge. My original comp on Aaron Judge was Dave Kingman.
Wow.
Now it's Dave Winfield.
Wow. Wow, there's a big difference.
Says it all.
Yeah, big difference. Wow. Kevin Kernan with us, as you can tell. We love having him on. Really a wonderful, wonderful sports writer and understands the game. Kev, John Sterling's call for Aaron Judge. Here comes the judge, all rise, and now they got people in right field looking like a courtroom. How about that?
Yeah, the Yankees are actually being human. Isn't that something?
I was going to say. Yeah.
You know, they realized this year, this offseason, that they had to really be a little bit more fan-friendly. And I have to say, you know, this is always my favorite park to come to, not only because of the way they treat the media, the great press box, great people, but it's a great park, and it's an enjoyable experience. Even when the Giants are struggling, you know, people still have fun. And I think the Yankees, Yankees realized that they're not, you know, they're not on that pedestal anymore, so they needed to kind of make the stadium a friendlier place. I call it now, it's not like the old Yankee Stadium. The old Yankee Stadium had a vibe to it. It shook. It was fun. It was exciting. This is kind of like a Disney World Yankee Stadium. Really? It's a facade. So they really have to find out who they are as a stadium, really, and as a fan base. And I think this is a good start with All Rise and everything else. And Judge takes it all in stride, and he laughs about it. He never saw this coming, to be quite frank. You know, he never thought he would be this successful this early. But, you know, having said all that, he planned for it. He wants to do it. And the Yankees, you know, I think the Yankees could be a very dangerous team if they get a little more pitching.
Yeah, that brings me to the next question. Of course, everyone talks about Johnny Cueto out here and what can happen with him and the opt-out and the rental and blah, blah, blah. Cubs, Houston, Yankees, maybe even the Red Sox. Where do you see Cueto perhaps going?
Well, I would take Cueto in a second. You know, I know sometimes he gets a little too Cueto for me, like when he throws that change up to Wilmer yesterday, and it's knocked out of the park. But, you know, the Yankees, I will say this about the Yankees, they don't want to give up your young talent, and I'd be surprised if they gave up a Clint Frazier type for any kind of rental. They're really committed to the young players. I could see, you know, in the past, Dave Dombrowski's always made big moves, so I would not be shocked if he went there or to Houston. Houston would be a good spot for him. They really need the help. But I just don't see the Yankees overspending on any pitcher at this point. They're going to ride this youth movement out and see where it takes them.
Boy, the Mets are always interesting, though. There's always a story, and Cabrera talked about being traded, and all of a sudden, everyone was against him in the locker. I thought you're going to suffocate the guy, you know? I love the New York press. I love it. But look, we never hear that here. No one ever says, I want to be traded. It's the last thing we could ever think about hearing here. And he just came out and said it, and boom, things went from there.
He's a very honest guy. You know, it was funny. I saw him come in the clubhouse that day. I welcomed him back. And then we all knew that, you know, early this year there were rumors like if they moved him, if he wanted his option picked up, if he went from short to second. So we knew he was not a happy camper. And he flat out, it reminded me of my days. You know, I covered the Padres for 10 years. It reminded me of my days of Benito Santiago back in San Diego when he was upset, just saying it like it is. And I give Cabrera a lot of credit. A lot of people are ripping on him for saying that, but at least he's being honest. And I think you saw Marty, he's still playing hard. So it's not like he says, I want to get traded, and then he dogs it. So he's actually done a very good job at second base, and he should realize that's best for his, you know, these GMs now, they all live in a world where they want to be fantasy players on GMs. You know, they want to move guys around everywhere. And that's what Cabrera can do. So he's only making his trade value more by playing second base. And here's the question, Marty. What happens when Ahmed Rosario comes up August 1st? Probably August 1st. That's the early date. And, you know, do you move? Then do you move Reyes to second, and then do you move Cabrera to third if he's still around? Because, you know, even Sandy Alderson said, we don't know what kind of market there is for him, so we don't know if he will be traded.
Sandy Alderson's still old school, you know, still the voice of the Mets, and but really kind of surprising to me, he put the for sale sign out.
Yes.
I know that's different for him.
It's much different for him. It surprised me a little bit, too. And it's been an interesting trip with myself and Sandy, because I wrote a column in L.A., and like you say, you love the New York press, and sometimes we're not afraid to mix it up. And
I love it.
Yeah, and I wrote a column. Now, you can say what you want about it, if it's unfair or whatever, but I pointed out four drastic mistakes compared to the L.A., to the Dodgers and the Mets, where they were 2 years ago, 2015, and where they are now. And I pointed out, obviously, Turner was a Met. Terry Collins desperately wanted to keep Turner. The upper management said no. Daniel Murphy had that great series against the Dodgers. Historic, really. Again, Terry Collins wanted to keep him. Upper management said no. And then two little things, but turned out to be very important. In 2012, the Mets drafted a shortstop, Gavin Cecchini. Mm-hmm. And about four picks later, six picks maybe later, the Dodgers get Seager. Mm-hmm. And then the very next year, the Mets make a Bloodlines draft pick of L.J. Mazzilli. And then about eight picks later, the Dodgers make a Bloodlines draft pick of Cody Bellinger. Mm. So I pointed out in the column, and needless to say, Sandy was not happy. So he had some choice words with me, and I don't mind it. You know, you got to, you know, I give him credit for still being the, he's an ex-Marine, so he's going to be fired up. But the truth of the matter is, I told him, I said, Sandy, I'm not changing facts. These things happen, and that's why there's a big difference between you and the Dodgers now.
Yeah, he's got a book, you know, you've seen his book. What a life story he's got of being a Marine, a college kid who went to Vietnam as a reporter.
Yeah, it's
How about
amazing.
That from Dartmouth. I mean, yeah. He's got, well, we know him out here quite well.
Of course, he still has a home out here, and, yeah. You know, and I appreciate his, you know, his how he feels about the game and how committed he is to the game.
Oh, Kevin Kernan with us. So where's Kernan on Twitter? You must follow him. It's absolutely terrific. Kev, Terry Collins, is this it for him? He got excited the other day. You made a big point of that on the Cabrera stuff, he raised his voice. But I don't know how the guy handles it, but he won a pennant. He got into the World Series, and now all of a sudden it looks like he's out the door.
Yeah, it's a great question, Morty. You know, I've covered a lot of managers through the years. I had Bochy in San Diego. We go way back. And, you know, I see what he's going through this year and how he's struggled. And Terry's going through the same thing. He's 68. Like he always says, Marty, he says, it's different here. And by that, that's code for meaning he hears it from ownership. He hears it from upper management. And it's also the New York press. So he hears from a lot of people. But nobody, in my mind, has done a better job with the media and really dealing with a difficult clubhouse than Terry Collins. I think he's done a spectacular job getting the Mets to the playoffs 2 straight years. They've never been in the playoffs 3 straight years. I believe this is it for him because I simply believe that they'll make a change, and he's also a little frustrated by what's going on with the team, but he will stay in baseball. He's a lifer, and he would help many organizations, and maybe the Mets will keep him in some other capacity.
Who would they bring in? Well, where would, you know, you always go from the person, the type of personality to a different personality. Now, of course, a manager today, you hope he can vote. You hope he's old enough to vote, you know, but he's got a laptop and everything else. And I guess the Mets go that way because Sandy
absolutely
was the originator of all that stuff.
Yeah, he was the originator of a lot of this stuff, and it's gone off the rails now. It's too much, and that's one of the things wrong with the game now too. But they will definitely get younger and try to bring in that type of person. I think just a name I'm throwing out there, Kruder. Remember, he
sure
used,
Chad Kruder.
I think he's in their minor league system. To me, he's a dark horse, I have absolutely no idea who they'll go with, or you know, once they make that kind of move. Dickie Scott's been the bench coach. He's very close to some people in the front office, so they could go that direction. And you know, unfortunately, he can't go to Bud Black because remember it was remember Sandy replaced Bruce in San Diego with Bud Black. So it'll be somebody. It'll be interesting. And if the Mets do make a run, which I'm still not counting them totally out, simply
sure,
because everybody's so bad in baseball. And if somebody goes south in the West now, it would open up a wild card. But I totally expect a change next year.
Oh, great. Well, great to have you on, as always. I love having you here. We love to keep in touch with you. As you can tell, this guy knows the game, and really a good writer, good man. Kev, I appreciate it. And when next time you're here, we're going to go back to 1989, the World Series. You were here for the Earthquake World Series, and you got an amazing story out of that. But I appreciate you taking the time to come in.
Well, you're always too kind, Marty, and good luck with everything.
All right, Kevin Kernan, New York Post, right here. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.